You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. After covering this week's legislative special session on property reassessment and state education funding in our previous segment, we continue our interview with Governor Matt Meyer, delving into several other issues, including Port of Wilmington expansion, the proposed data center project near Delaware City, and the start of legal marijuana sales in the first state.
I want to move on to something else. Port of Wilmington. What can you tell us about where things stand with the Edgemoor expansion project? And I guess more specifically from you, does your vision differ from what's largely been discussed about this idea since it was first broached in 2018?
Well, I mean, one of the initial proponents, I think the guy that might have even created the idea of the port expansion back when they were talking about doing it right by the Delaware Memorial Bridge, the River's Edge Project, Kamoko Harris is my appointee on the port board. So I'm a strong believer in port expansion. The number of working class jobs it creates would be wonderful for the city of Wilmington, wonderful for Newcastle County, wonderful for our whole state. I've been by the port several times. I've spoken to foreign governments about expanding opportunities to both import into the port and export out of the port. The port project itself remains held up. The port project is moving forward in a number of ways. Mm. The port project is not able to move forward in every way until a permit is issued from the Army Corps of Engineers. There was a court case about it. We're working on it. We're working with the Army Corps of Engineers, and we hope by the end of the year that situation will be resolved.
Do you feel like – maybe it's not shovel-ready, but once that litigation is handled, do you feel like there's actionable – things to do to get that project started?
I think, well, it's already happening, Tom. It's not like it's already moving forward. It's a very complex project. There are a lot of moving parts. Are there going to be other hiccups? Almost certainly, yes. There will be. We're talking about at least a $500, $600 million project, probably more expensive than that. Just the financing of it is complex. The construction aspects of it are complex, and obviously a number of the legal aspects are complex as well. But my administration is fully committed to seeing this through and seeing it through for the good of Delawareans and the people in Northern Delaware.
There was some public controversy between you and legislative leadership over the makeup of the Port Board, and lawmakers have reconstituted the Port of Wilmington Expansion Task Force. So you've got these two separate bodies working. Is there a need to get everyone on the same page to help move this project forward?
I think we're on the same page as far as moving the port forward. I don't know. I think there's a lot of politics behind the background that has a lot to do with the election last year. I don't pay much attention to it. My job is to deliver for Delawareans, especially in this day and age when there's I think working people are being crushed. I think working people are being crushed by a president who has deceived them and lied to them, quite frankly, and that's President Trump. I think working people and potentially ports are being crushed by tariffs, by a national tax that just sort of came out of nowhere and is totally inappropriate. It's hard to find an economist who says this is a good idea. There's no space for us to have, you know, little disagreements about election last year. Let's move forward. Let's build this port and let's serve Delaware.
On the topic of economic development, there's a significant amount of pushback on a massive proposed data center project near Delaware City, specifically over some of the electrical grid possible concerns, water use, other environmental factors. Where do you stand on this?
We have a massive energy shortage in our country and the region, and PJM, right, the exchange that Delaware and a number of states are on. Delaware imports way too much electricity. We need to produce electricity, and having a large data center come here and just draw electricity off the grid is just a non-starter for me. I will do everything I can to make sure something like that doesn't happen. Data centers, in most cases, don't create that many permanent jobs. Often they'll mean a lot in terms of construction jobs, which are important, but the construction jobs after it's built largely go away. This data center project proposed in Delaware City, from what I've read about it and what I understand, is a large multi-phase project that I think will take, you know, 6, 7, 10 years to build out, which is real jobs and real opportunity. We don't want to, you know, in a changing economy, moving towards an AI economy, we don't want to lose out. We don't want to be left behind in some backwater economy. So we're looking at what we can do to make sure we can do projects, whether it's data centers or other things, with the energy capabilities so that when a project comes in to create jobs, to help advance Delaware and advance Delaware's economy, we're not spiking everyone's power bill, because that we're just not going to do. There's energy capacity available, but also making sure it's sustainable. A lot of the cooling of these data centers is really bad for the environment,
use, yeah.
the water use. But there are some new technologies out there that we believe are more sustainable. And so not just with data centers, but with anything, we're going to look at it. How does Delaware benefit? And with at least some of these initial data center proposals that I've seen, it's hard for me to see how Delaware benefits.
Is there any concern? It looks like the first phase of this has already kind of been filed and in process. Do you see any possibility of doing anything to stop that first phase, or is it a situation where that horse may already be out of the barn and
yeah,
just look at the second phase?
I don't have all the details on it. It sounds like with respect to local government and local land use, it is a by right project, I think. I know the county government is working hard to see what the law is around it. We, too, are looking to make sure that it doesn't have a disproportionate impact, a bad impact on spiking energy prices are already way too high. People's Delmarva prices just in the past 6 months since I've been in office have been ridiculous. Mine in my house, you're talking about, I'm used to $70, $80, $100 bills. There's $300, $350. I'm fortunate in a place where I can, it's no fun, but I can handle that. And I understand a lot of Delaware families is something they can't handle. So we're looking out for people. We're going to do everything we can to stop that from happening.
Is there also kind of concurrent that work needed to be done on the inherent electric grid problems you're talking about in terms of not importing as much, whether it be wind or other opportunities for the state to increase its portfolio?
Yeah, stay tuned. I signed a bill to move the offshore wind project forward, which is not directly a Delaware project, but it's basically adds to the energy grid in a substantive way, in an important way. I've already cut a ribbon on one of the largest solar projects in Delaware history in Kent County. And there's some other stuff coming.
Yeah, switching gears. Adult use recreational marijuana sales started this month. The state reported $94,000 in revenue in the first 3 days. How do you feel about the progression of the rollout, especially under new marijuana commissioner Josh Sanderlin?
Look, Commissioner Sanderlin is fine. We're very lucky. He's not someone from Delaware. He's one of the leading thinkers on this issue. And he looks at it from a business and community aspect, whereas traditionally Delaware's looked at it as a public safety issue. But what are we doing with marijuana? Number one, we got to make sure communities are sustainable and they're safe and they're protected. I think there's a lot of concern in communities. I have small children. Like, what are we doing? Do we want this thing all around our kids? Do we want to go? I don't know how many of you have been to New York or San Francisco lately, but you go outside and there's that stench. That's not Delaware. And we're doing everything to make sure that we continue to retain the same communities we have. We also have a historic obligation. Marijuana enforcement in this state has not been equitable. There are people in our communities today, almost all black and brown people, who've been imprisoned for years and years for using and selling marijuana, where people of different colors of skin have not had that same experience. We need to make sure we use whatever revenue we have to address that historic wrong going forward. And also, I mean, as a number of legislators remind me, there is a revenue opportunity there for the state. But for me, it's clearly third. We're continuing to watch and monitor to make sure communities are being protected as this, you know, economic opportunity grows, and make sure people are safe.
And there is still an important piece of the puzzle here, which is Senate Bill 75 that would address zoning issues that have limited where cannabis facilities can be located in counties. Will you sign Senate Bill 75?
Stay tuned. You'll hear soon. We will be taking action very shortly. I've made it very clear, listen, I have local government background. I don't think it's appropriate that when state government likes local government regulation, they say, yeah, we support it. And when they don't like local government regulation, they overrule it. At the same time, it's important for communities that this moves forward.
Is letting it go into effect without your signature on the table?
It's always on the table.
Can I ask one question about the thing you just brought up?
It's your show, Tom. You can ask whatever you want.
Local versus state control. Because it seems to be coming up in a lot of different areas here.
Of course, yeah.
Is that something?
Not the first time.
No, I know. But I'm wondering, does it seem like it is – we're seeing a little bit more of that butting up against each other in this state. That maybe we haven't. I mean, it has been an issue before. I'm not denying that. Yeah. But I'm saying, but it does seem like recently it's been a little bit more testy.
I will say this: as someone, and now I'm spending a lot more time with other governors from other states around the country, often larger state governors. That is interesting in Delaware because we're a small state. I think state representatives and state senators in particular and governors are much more involved in sort of the local pothole type issues that Governor Newsom and even Governor Stein in North Carolina or Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania, Governor Moore, they don't get involved at the level we often get involved. So I was talking to Governor Polis of Colorado about marijuana regulation just the other day, and he's just like, just let the counties do what they like. He has too many counties to know. I was asking, what's the regulation of counties? He's like, I have no idea. He's like, some do it, some don't. I don't really know.
Yeah, he's
know.
Not going to run into the problem, though, where like if there's enough zoning laws, like there's like literally no place to put the facilities. Right?
Yeah, that's
probably
right.
Not a problem for him.
That's right. That's probably, yeah, Colorado's much larger. I think it's a 3-mile limitation from school. So we're working directly with Sussex County. We're going to see what we can do.
Continuing with political controversy. There's been continued drama over the legislatively created Diamond State Hospital Cost Review Board, which is politically appointed, and they will review hospital budgets to make sure their spending is in line with the state's healthcare spending benchmark. There was extensive controversy over the creation of the board while the bill was making its way through the General Assembly, and it is currently facing legal challenges from ChristianaCare. There is a lot of nuance here, but when all is said and done, the goal of this board is to curb rising healthcare costs in Delaware. You have made it clear that affordable healthcare is very important to you. So with all of the turmoil surrounding this board, do you think it's more trouble than it's worth?
Do I think the board is more trouble than it's worth? I think we got to do everything we can in our power to make sure there's affordable healthcare for Delawareans. There are a number of ways to do it. One is a hospital review board. There are other things I talked about a lot in the campaign, like competition. We basically have three to four monopoly hospital systems in our state: ChristianaCare in Newcastle County, Bay Health in Kent County, BB in Eastern Sussex, and Title Health in Western Sussex. You know, monopoly services for anyone doesn't bode well. If I'm the only person selling milk in the town, I can charge any price I want and I can give you any quality you want. And I think we're seeing some of that. So we're doing everything we can to address that situation. I think the review board is potentially one tool in the toolbox. As you know, it's under litigation. I can just about feel my phone blowing up saying, don't say this, don't say that. But I think it's important that we move forward with it as a tool in the toolbox to hold the hospitals accountable.
So it's important that you say for it to move forward, although it obviously wasn't done under your administration. So I'm just curious, is it a priority for you, or are there other avenues?
Our priority is doing anything we can to bring down healthcare costs. It's also important to note that not only was I not in office when House Bill 350 was introduced, passed, and signed into law, it was first consummated and most of the members were appointed, but also the landscape is changing pretty rapidly. We have estimates of up to 70,000 Delawareans, about 7% of Delawareans, that due to loss of Affordable Care Act subsidies and changes to Medicaid have no health insurance. Keep in mind, when you say have no health insurance, that actually doesn't mean they don't go to the doctor. It just means the state doesn't pay for them going to the doctor anymore. They're still going to go, and hospitals are going to be left hung out to dry. There are estimates across the country that thousands of hospitals may go out of business because this bill, the big bill that President Trump signed a few weeks ago. So we're monitoring that. I mean, we don't want to do anything that contributes to one of our main hospital systems going under, while at the same time making sure prices are competitive and the quality and accessibility for Delawareans is really high.
You're listening to our interview with Governor Matt Meyer. We wrap up that interview next, asking the governor about how actions in Washington, D.C. are affecting the first state. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.